Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. It's tax day. We'll try not to be adding any taxing information to you here. And helping me on our untaxing day, Dr. Jill Hubbard and
Hello.
Dr. Dave Stoop. And also someone that is actually an expert.
Yeah, he's
taxing. Larry Sonnenberg. Hey, Larry. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Steve. Hi.
Share with us. We're going to talk with you right up top of the hour here, and then we're going to continue talking about a subject we dealt with earlier in the week about drug and alcohol addiction and taking calls at 1-800-229-3000. But what's going on, Larry, with our finances here mid-month? Boy, do we need help.
Yeah, we do. But the good thing is the thing I wanted to ask our audience to think about is I'd like you to listen to each of these phone calls today and really think about, where would these people turn if they didn't have New Life to call? Sometimes our finances get that serious. They're not quite there yet. I think we're pulling out of a slump right now, and we'll be talking about a matching gift here in the weeks and probably next week. So I just wanted to encourage everybody, listen to these calls, listen to the hurt, listen to the pain, and think about these people and what would happen if New Life wasn't here, because it's every time you give, you're giving to the change that happens in these people's lives.
It's
and
true.
I'm not talking just about workshops, because change happens when people are listening on radio.
Well, that's what we love, is people around the world get it on the internet, and then we hear stories literally of transformation, complete transformation, just by listening and then doing some of the things we say, like go connect in a redemptive relationship.
And that's such a good point, Larry, about, you know, where would they call? We all need somebody to call to help us out. You know, I was sharing with you guys about how my daughter was calling me about her car. She needed someone to just say, go here, do this. Yeah. You can do it.
That's so good,
right?
Jill. Absolutely.
And so as adults, you know, we're not always calling our moms and dads anymore, but we need wise counsel. We need other people that make us feel okay and like we can do it.
And sometimes when they call, that handset weighed about 45 pounds. And
for them to think about
making that first call was a big, big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to love them through it, even though it's tough love more often than not.
So it's mom and dad that are often calling rather than the kid calling.
Well, now mom and dad are going, quick, give me advice so I can
But there's two things I'm asking, probably three. One is help us with a gift to get over the hump. Number two, join Club New Life. We've been talking about that a lot the last month. It's a big deal. It's growing. It's doing good. We're getting these videos up. We got the new thank you gift. Help us join Club New Life. 30th anniversary, $30 a month. That's a big deal. We really need it, and everybody who's listening to the program and calling needs it. And the other thing is I'm on a personal campaign to get new people calling us and giving to us. Please, if you have never given to New Life and you've been listening, I know there's a bunch of you that have been listening for not just a month or two, but for a year or two or five or ten.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the time. This is, someday is today. So make that someday you're going to give, make that be today. So thank you.
Well, it's a great challenge, and you know, we just can't do it without you. So I hope something Larry has said has meant something to you here. We'll take a break. We'll come right back with phone calls. But those phone calls, they've been coming in. Well, we've been doing this for 30 years, and we just can't do it without you. Some of you folks, oh my goodness, the help you've been to us, it's unbelievable. The lives you've changed. And when you support us, every person we talk to, you're part of that phone call. Because I guarantee you, without you, there wouldn't be a phone call. We'll take a break. Come back right after this.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Ever since I got into PA, Procrastinators Anonymous, I'm doing things early, and I was told that tomorrow's tax day. Of course, for me, it's today. I'm just trying to do everything early I can. Anyway, forgive me if I caused you to panic there. Yes, tomorrow, be sure that's postmarked by the end of the day. And that tax refund, you just send it right to us. Just go ahead and turn it right over, and we will
help you. And that'll help you with you. Next year's taxes.
You right. Betcha. Yeah. All right, let's go to John. Raleigh, North Carolina. John held over from another program. Thank you for doing that, John. How you doing today, buddy?
I am absolutely great. Thank you very much for taking the call.
You're welcome. Talk to us. What's going on?
Well, I had the good pleasure of discovering the radio broadcast while I was driving, and it kind of compelled me to ask a question. The long and short, if I may, just a very brief history is that it was a rifle accident. When I was 12, I accidentally took the life of my 10-year-old best friend.
Oh,
and by age 13, I was just absolute alcoholic and within years started using drugs as well. And, you know, that lasted nearly 30 years until I was 40. So I know that there are a plenitude of programs out for, you know, that we all give advice to, you know, families that maybe have a child or family member or spouse that's going through some, you know, terrible addiction or just needs some help. But I guess the question I'd like to pose is for the child themselves, do you have any advice, maybe for offering them, because I try to do a lot of counseling now to be of some help, but how do you get them to feel like, I guess the question stemmed from, I never asked for help because I really thought that I didn't deserve it based on what I had done.
Sure, yeah.
And I had no idea of how to articulate to my parents or anyone else that, you know, I need help. And it seems that far too often, you know, people just maybe mistaking it for kindness or compassion, just don't bring up the subject or the topic and think that, you know, well, we don't want to talk about it because we don't want to hurt them or, you know, upset them or whatever. And I think that's the absolute worst thing in the world to do is just not talk about it.
Absolutely, exactly. John, you are so right about that because, you know, you were probably thinking about it every day, every moment. And couldn't get away from it. And when people don't bring it up, it's like, oh my gosh, it's so horrible. Nobody can handle it. That's the message that's given to a child instead of, we're with you in this. Let's talk about this horrible thing and let's bear it together. I'm so sorry that happened.
And, you know, I think about this, John, that we've come a long way. And today, so many people are aware that a little boy that would be involved in an accident like that doesn't have what it takes to endure that, to come out of that in a healthy way. They do need help. But as I say that we've come a long way, I also know that there are a lot of people that have not come a long way. And they would tell a child who went through what you went through, well, you're just going to have to deal with this. You're just going to have to get over it the best
just
that you can.
Right.
And really, right. As you know, just complicate the problem and exacerbate it and make it worse than ever. And I'm hoping that somebody that's hearing this, because you've called, you've taken the time to call, that maybe their child has been through some kind of traumatic experience, some kind of loss, and that they stop and think, hey, you know what? I need to quit avoiding this because it's uncomfortable for me, and I need to start talking about this so that they can experience some healing.
I was very fortunate in that I was dazed before taking my own life, and you know, thankfully, when I had never sought any programs, never had any help all of my life, but thankfully, God took care of that in the course of one evening until the next day, and my drinking and drugs, et cetera, everything stopped that following morning. So I'm just a very fortunate person having received grace that I got an answer before my life ended, but I just don't want, I really don't want that to be, you know, for anybody else out there. I don't want it to be one of those things that they may not be so fortunate. They might not call out. They may not ask, and they may not ever get help. So, yeah, any ideas you have on that would sure be great.
Well, I tell you, we have a phone number that we wish every child had it at 12 or 20. 1-800-HELP,
right.
The number 4 and me. And when you need help, you can call that. You can call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. But our whole mission here is to help people to not just connect with their children, but realize that there are attachment styles that are redemptive, and there are attachment styles that are absolutely destructive. And we want to transform all the relationships between parents and kids into redemptive attachment, not some kind of destructive attachment that so many have been through. And your call here and what you've said is just a great reminder to all of us who are parents to strengthen those bonds and those connections with our kids. And I'm really appreciating that you call. I'm going to send you a Every Man's Bible, my gift to you. I think you'll like it. A lot of men never read the Bible till they get this one, and then they love it. All right, let's go to Susan, Washington, D.C. She listens, WAVA. Hi, Susan. How you doing?
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. And actually, when I turned on the radio, I was so surprised about your program, because last night I was talking about this, and I felt, my husband and I felt very desperate to help our son. It was like God sent the program to me to hear, you know, what I can do, or maybe take a first step.
What's going on in that family? What's happening?
My son has been using marijuana for about 5 years, and we tried many things to help him. Aside from talking a lot and giving, you know, a lot of like ultimatums and even early on the stage, sending him to a recovery center and to a rehabilitation center overseas. But for a while he was okay, but then he went back to his old.
He relapsed.
Use, and now he's using more due to his back pain.
Well, Susan,
the way he's using it as excuse, he has a back pain, and he's convinced that it's not harmful, and he wants to convince us that it's not harmful, and that he's doing to help him with the pain.
Now, Susan, help us understand, because a lot of people like him, they say, well, marijuana isn't a problem. What problem are you seeing?
Well, I see that my son is getting more isolated.
Okay.
He stopped working for about a month now, and he stopped going to school, and he's smoking more and openly. And
they talk about amotivational. They talk about amotivational syndrome, and people say, "Oh, amotivational syndrome, that's nothing." Sounds like he has amotivational syndrome. Doesn't want to work. Doesn't want to go to school. So the results of the marijuana have caused him to stop wanting to do anything. Now, I'm assuming that you provide him with a roof over his head and food?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anything in you that...
That's why my call is about how can I help him. We are at the point to give him an ultimatum to leave home, but we want to do it the right way. We want to help him.
Okay. I'm glad you called. The right way is to say to him, we're going to have a plan. It's not you have to be out by tomorrow, but it's here's our plan for you. You must, in the next 4 months, you must get up every day. You must go to school. You must get a job. You must be working, looking for a job. Your job is to look for a job, and we're going to monitor this and see how it goes. But at the end of the 4 months, you can't live here. But we're not just going to let you come right up to the edge and decide that, you didn't do enough. We're going to talk. We're going to monitor. We're going to evaluate. We're not going to let this be okay anymore. So, and then the other thing is, I would say this. At minimum, you're going to live under our roof and eat our food. You're going to go see a therapist once a week. And you're going to accompany us to, this is Dave's big idea in the world, and it's a good one. And you can talk about it, Dave. Mm-hmm. You're going to go to a speaker meeting with us every week.
Speaker meetings.
Yeah.
A speaker meeting is an AA meeting where you just walk in, you sit down, you listen to a speaker who talks about addictions, of broad spectrum of addictions. And when he's done, you get up and walk out. You don't participate in any way, but it's an educational process, and it made a difference in our family. It was part of the solution was to understand what we were dealing with, and whether he agrees that it's an addiction or not, anything that gives a high, emotional high is an addiction, is addictive, and so there's no question about it. He could, for his back pain, he could get CBD, which is a kind of a part of a marijuana plant that doesn't have the high attached to it, but it is very effective with pain. And
the medicinal.
He doesn't want that. He wants the other stuff. Yeah,
that's what he got described, and he says that aside from that, he needs the other one because he cannot afford to buy, you know. Only that. What is it called?
How does he afford to buy any?
Because he was working. It's been only about 2 months now that he's not working.
So he still has some money.
Going to school. Mm-hmm. But it seems like now he has the prescription to buy. He feels like that's what we noticed. He went down the hill. And he's open with that. Like he thinks that he's allowed, but we smell that it's the smell that we smell at home. It's I don't know if the one that it's medicated, it still has the smell, but it's really strong, and he's doing it more often. So
you tell your husband
he's using the other one.
Okay, you tell your husband we're going to have a new program around here. If he can't go to school 20 hours a week and work 40 hours a week, we're going to require 2 hours a week. 1 hour is in a speaker meeting, and 1 hour is with a therapist. That's where we're going to start. And that's just the beginning. Now, just think about that. He's not working. He's not going to school. I think he's got time to accompany you to a speaker meeting and to go get some therapy. He is not willing to do that, you're going to have to move sooner than later.
Right, and he's showing you that he isn't capable of moving his life forward. Right? So he's at 21, he's floundering, and so that is a sign that he needs more of your guidance and more of your structure. So you're taking your cues from him. I mean, you're willing to let him chart his own course if he charts a course. But sitting on the couch smoking pot all day and doing nothing else, that's not a course. Right? And so...
Yes, I understand.
Right? So this isn't just mom and dad, you know, kind of raining on his parade. This is, no, we're seeing your behavior is telling us that you need us more.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's important that the responsibility is on him. If you show us differently, we'll gladly back off.
Mm-hmm. Come up with your own plan.
Right. If you have a plan and you follow through on it, great.
Yeah. You know, I'd love to have some marijuana right now, but I've got to get to work before next year. So, you know, a lot of us, nirvana, mood alteration. But the problem is that it's an instant mood alteration and a lifetime of change occurs that produces pain. And you know what? If you're smoking and you've got some parents that'll take on all the responsibility, you don't have any pain. It's your job to get him to feel the pain.
I did come into the weekend with an expectation to sort out probably something that couldn't be fixed.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., July 20th to the 22nd.
There is a third person in our marriage, and it's not Jesus. It's a voice that is harsh, and it's put a wall between us.
Join Steve Arterburn.
I'm going to be talking about seven different secrets from the Mediterranean. You do these, and they lead you to a life of passion and meaning and romance and deep, intimate connection.
And Mylon and Kay Yurkovich.
We're going to be talking about the emotional, sexual, and relational journey that all couples go on over the course of a lifetime together.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
I really feel like we have somewhere to go and a future and we have hope.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with two of my favorite people in the entire universe, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Dave Stoop. And Dave wrote the book for the Arterburn Wellness Series, Understanding and Loving a Person with Alcohol or Drug Addiction. You can get that book with a gift of any amount. It's also part of the 8-book series that is our way of saying thank you when you join Club New Life. 8 books, and then you get access to our video library. It's pretty incredible. I want to mention that on May 18th and 19th, the Life Recovery Conference and our 30th anniversary celebration, Friday, May 18th from 7 to 9, then the conference the next day on the 19th is at Fairfax Community Church. You're going to love it. Come celebrate with us on Friday. Be with us on Saturday, the 19th. It's going to be wonderful. Chris Buckingham is going to be there. Chris Williams, Dr. Stoop, myself. We're going to be talking about a lot of great things and celebrate. Everybody that comes to the Friday night celebration gets a gift. We have prizes and, of course, a lot of fun other things. All right, let's go back to the phones right now. And let's talk with, how about we talk with Lisa, Temecula, California, listens. on Sirius XM Satellite Radio 131 every weekday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, how you doing?
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing okay. How could we help you today? What's going on?
Well, I just want to say a few things. I've been listening to you guys for almost 30 years, and I listen to you every day. I'm a Club New Life member. I've been in recovery for just about everything except addiction. But the reason I'm calling is I have an adult son who is an alcoholic, sober today, in recovery today, who may be coming to live with us for a short time. And I need some help with boundaries.
Like, why?
How old is he?
He's 30.
Okay.
What boundaries are you concerned about?
Well, I'm not sure. That's kind of where I need some direction. What boundaries should I be setting? I mean, I've got the basic boundaries already down, but, you know, his responsibilities in the house. But,
why is he moving back in with you? Why is he moving back in?
He's in between living arrangements right now, and he's in a somewhat unhealthy situation right now, and he has a place to go to in July, so he'd only be with us for a couple months.
Okay.
And my husband is his stepfather.
Okay.
Well, the main boundary that I think you need, Lisa, is the July boundary, that nothing upsets that, and that he continues to make sure that that's going to happen. That would be the primary boundary, and that his hours would be sensitive to your comfort zone because it's your home.
Mm-hmm. Consideration for your home, you know, no destructive behavior, those types of, you know, normal adult expectations. But this sounds like you're
going to have those down.
Okay, but you're doing him a favor. You know, you're letting him, you're covering his in-between time. And then he's moving on. And I agree. It's a short time. Mm-hmm. And as long as he's continuing in his recovery, there really aren't a ton of boundaries that you would have for him. He's an adult, you know, unless he regresses and no longer is acting like an adult.
Then you evict him.
Yeah.
So do you know what his commitment is to going to recovery meetings and working the steps? Is there a commitment?
Yes. He's been working with a sponsor.
Great.
AA, yes.
Okay, super.
And I don't know exactly how many meetings, but I think he goes to at least 3 meetings a week. And he's in church. He's in a small group in church.
Okay.
Sounds good.
The other thing is ask him what boundaries he needs to have.
That's a really good idea.
And bring him into the process with you, which is treating him like an adult rather than, which affirms his continued adulthood.
Well, right. And the idea that when you're in your parents' home, you do as they would want, right? This isn't his place.
Right.
He doesn't get to have a bunch of friends coming over and spending the night and, you know, carrying on. It's your place, so he abides by your rules.
Right.
And I'm assuming he would know what you would expect. Not that you shouldn't reiterate, but that he knows you, right?
Yes. And he knows, you know, what I want, but I plan on expounding on that with him, so we're all clear.
Well, no, it's good to be clear.
Well, if I were you, I would be doing some unique things. I would be saying, okay, now, here's what we were thinking, that Thursday night is game night here, and, you know, and so we want to be with you, and you could have a friend, and let's play some cards or dominoes or something. We were thinking it'd be kind of neat if on maybe Wednesday and Sunday night you made dinner. That'd be a great thing. We know you love to pitch in.
He'll be out of there so fast.
I mean, I would be creative,
boundaries.
Yeah,
well, that's see, but fun. I would do that. I would.
It's
he needs
be
to
family
pitch
time now.
Pitch in time, and And I'd be saying, hey, we're going to go to that Tuesday night meeting with you. We're going to be there with you on that open meeting. And, oh, he doesn't go to an open speaker meeting? Let's find one. Let's go together. I'd enjoy it because it's a short length of time. And that way, it's not like he's some weak kid coming back home. You're going to have some fun with a grown adult.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Yeah, those are way... We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Dr. Dave Stoop just pointing out a lot of our calls, a couple of calls from SiriusXM on the board there, some from a podcast, some from radio stations. And let's go.
Well, one more thing for Lisa. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
When he goes to an AA meeting, it might be good for you and your husband to go to an Al-Anon meeting at the same time, just in support of his recovery, the continued recovery.
And having him come back, if you haven't had him in the home in a recovered, you know, recovery mm-hmm. process, it can be scary. You can kind of start to anticipate some of the behaviors that used to happen.
You can also regress back to being a child again.
Yeah.
Okay. Set the rules, set the expectations before the move in.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk to Erica from Walnut, California, listening on KKLA. How you doing, Erica? Welcome to New Life Live.
Hi. Hold on one second, please.
Okay, sure. We've got all the time in the world. So, yes, got a golf
actually,
tournament.
I just,
yes,
I'm here.
Go ahead.
Just in a nutshell, you know, I've had a really difficult, sad life ever since from birth. And
really?
I'm 57 now, yes. Oh. And I'm just finally learning what love is and how to connect with the people I love, which is my three children. And
what happened in your childhood that made it so rough for you
from
beginning?
Birth.
Oh, well, my father was very brutal and violent and emotionally and physically abusive. I remember, my mom had suffered third-degree burns on her back because he poured a whole pot of hot soup on her back when she was pregnant with me.
Oh my goodness.
And she she became pregnant with me at 15, and they had wanted to get me aborted, but they were in Hong Kong, and I guess my dad was part of the police force then, and so nobody would do it. Anyway, so long story short, we came here to America when I was 2, and I have 3 younger siblings, like one right after the other, and I was told that, you know, I had to take care of them. And if they got in trouble, I would get in trouble because both my parents worked. My mom worked in a sewing factory, and my dad became a bellman. So we were latchkey kids. And then, in essence, like my siblings, like I was more like a mother to them. And, and they started, like, blackmailing me. Like, oh, if you don't give me that, I'm going to tell daddy this.
But
anyways, and then my mom ended up... committing suicide when I was 17.
Day before,
she told me she was going to do it, and I told her to stop talking crazy. And it was odd because, see, like, she never really talked to me, and it was weird that she was, and I didn't know what to say. And then, so the next day, when the police came to the house and said that my mom had been murdered because her throat was slashed with her scissors that she always carried in her purse. I blurted out, I said, oh, so she didn't kill herself. And then the police said, oh, did she say she was going to? I said, yes. And so they said, oh, yeah, then it is suicide.
I'm so sorry.
Erica.
Shortly after my father, I mean, this is how brutal he is. After the funeral and everything, he tells me that my mom was having an affair, which wasn't true.
Let me ask you this. And then, real quickly,
he kicked me out of the house when he brought in somebody else, and then I married a man that came from a similar background. So between the two of us, we didn't make a good home for my 3 kids.
Now let me ask you this. What have you done over the years that has been most helpful in helping you deal with this? Have you done anything that has been healing?
All my life I've been trying to, you know, get my husband to go to counseling, but I realized it just never worked because this is what I finally realized. I can't force him or make him to have the desire to get to work with me and to improve himself. And what I finally realized is that I can only do that for myself. And
has anything helped you?
It's a culmination of things. A year ago, I went to an IOP program because I had like a nervous breakdown. And I didn't want to kill myself, but just out of sheer pain, because my son, again, my husband and I were fighting, and I felt like my son was taking his father's side, and I was like my whole life, I felt like I was being a father and a mother to him, and protecting
him,
and I just, like, I was just so, anyway, but the good thing is my son's the one that's insisted I need to get help, so I went into an IOP program, and it was very helpful.
Oh, good. So what were you calling about today?
And I'm calling because all my life I've been, like, seeking God. I've been, like, when the best thing I did was when my kids were little, I realized I couldn't provide them with what they really needed, and so I took them to church. And
that was good.
So my two daughters are Christians, but my son refuses. He went to church to leave. And I've been going to Bible study.
How could we help you, though? Did you have a question for us?
The question is, I want to really be saved. I really want to believe that God loves me. And I just don't really feel that or believe that. I've said the prayer that, you know, that I accepted Christ into my life and my heart and all that. But, you know, I really don't feel it. And then in Bible studies,
and
the other ladies talk about how loving God is, the stories. And so I don't get that. I feel like he's...
Well, Erica, I think it's difficult for you because so much of the time we relate to God, our Heavenly Father, the way we were, you know, the way we related to our parents or the way they related to us. So that's our image of, you know, parental love. And because that was so difficult for you and so abusive, it makes it harder to draw close to God, but it's not impossible. So you have to be aware of when, you know, you're putting that image of your parents onto God and not accepting the love because love was painful, right? So, and then it sounds like your husband has difficult loving too. Sometimes the best way to start to see God as loving is to view other loving people and see how people outside of our family actually react to us and use that example of love, you know, as an example of, wow, that's just a small portion of what God's love is. Or your love for your children. No matter what they've done, you love them no matter what, right?
Yeah,
even when they're breaking your heart.
But they don't. I mean, they love me, but you know, out of obligation. But they don't like me. I never was able to connect. But the thing is, I'm at the process now. I'm realizing all this. I realize like why they would feel that way towards me.
Yeah.
Well, Erica, I wonder if you've shared this in your Bible study group. Your difficulty earning love.
Feeling loved.
Okay. I have.
A feeling loved.
I have.
Well, let me do this.
I'm in the process I'm in the process of feeling, I guess, better about myself.
Good.
Yeah, because that gives them the freedom to express love to you and for you, and then call you to account for the acceptance of that love, which is good.
You know, I think that, excuse me, Steve.
No, go ahead.
My book, Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers, it would be a good one for you because it was written about parents who really probably shouldn't have been parents and a lot of difficult situations like you've described. And I'm thinking that might be helpful for you because the subtitle is Freedom from Hate and Hurt. So,
okay, we're going to get that to you. I think I'll send you Take Your Life Back also. I hope that would provide some hope and healing. Maybe we can get you...
Yeah, I wish you could go to our workshop, Take Your Life
Back. Maybe we can get you to the workshop, and maybe somebody can help with that. I feel
because
a
one of
lifetime
the,
of pain right now.
Yeah, and one of the overwhelming things people say at our workshops is they feel loved.
Yes, that's
so
right.
So I would love for you to be enveloped in that.
All right. You know, people say, where is God? I don't feel God. God was absolutely, absolutely there for you. He was there. He went through it. He felt it. He experienced it. So sad.
Hi, Steve Arterburn here. I'm really looking forward to being with a lot of wonderful people at our Life Recovery Conference in Washington, D.C. It's a great time to get a little boost in your recovery, gain some new insight from some great people who understand addiction, recovery, and all that the 12 steps can do down the path toward healing and hope and wholeness. Come join us for the Life Recovery Conference. It's always a great time for anyone who's interested in what are those 12 steps and how better can I utilize them in my life and my recovery. You can even learn how to run a group. Maybe you never thought about doing that, but you'll feel competent and confident after the Life Recovery Conference.
The Life Recovery Conference is coming to Washington, D.C., May 18th and 19th. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to liferecoverygroups.com.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools
to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Dave Stoop right here with you, for you. And anytime you support this ministry, we would love for you to get Dave's book. It's part of the Arterburn Wellness Series, Loving a Person with Alcohol and Drug Addiction. I will just ask you to pray for Erica. Wow. I mean, she said she'd had a tough life. That doesn't get much tougher.
She wasn't exaggerating.
Than that. And let me tell you what I think that is. I think her life is absolute evidence of evil, that a person could have a child and treat them this way. It's evidence of evil.
Yeah.
It's also evidence of the amazing persevering spirit that God puts in people. And, you know, God didn't take it away. God never says he will, but he does say he's there to wipe away every single tear. And I believe that that is what has happened here. Oh, my goodness. What people do to other people.
Hmm.
Never, ever cease to be amazed at how cruel people can be. All right, let's talk with Catherine. She's calling from Fort Worth, Texas. How you doing, Catherine? Welcome to New Life. What's going on?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
Doing okay. How could we help you today?
Well, I have to apologize in advance because I may sound, or my questions may be a little bit scattered. But just some history, I am in my late 30s, and I was married pretty young and stayed married for 14 years. And so I just entered my second marriage, which has been great. But I think it spotlighted some issues that I had that maybe I never addressed.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's some dysfunction. So I have a concern about that. I want to correct the behaviors. But specifically, my question today is, I've been listening to your show quite often, and I just get so much from it, but I've never heard the term borderline personality disorder before your show, and there's been times I've questioned, maybe I'm a narcissist, and I guess it's just, I realize there's something, and just some history, my upbringing is, I had a mother that was detached from me. She was married to my father, who was a sex addict, and I probably knew too much. And she was very, I do think my mom may be a narcissist. I'm not sure, but she was very detached from me. She was very close to my brother, but she had images with her, or issues with her self-image, which was projected on me. And so unless I looked a certain way or was thin, you know, I felt my mom was proud if I was thin, if I was heavy. I felt like she was disgusted in me. And I loved my mom. The way I would explain it as a child, I'm older now, so I don't explain it this way, but I loved her so much that I hated her because I felt rejected by her.
Mm-hmm.
I got saved at 18, though, and I felt like the Lord healed me from a lot of that. And so I married my first husband. It was my first relationship really ever, and it was after being saved. And we actually have a wonderful relationship. We have two beautiful kids. He's remarried. I love his new wife, and it's very, I mean, we're friends, but
I'm almost out of time. I'm almost out of time. So I got to get to a question.
I'm so sorry. Okay. I'm so sorry. Well, I wasn't the best wife. But we had a very different dynamic. He was more of a woman in the relationship, and I felt like I had to be the man, and I didn't feel safe and secure. Long story short, but I think it stuck with me that I treated him really poorly. I was very verbal with him toward the end, resentful.
Right. So now get to that question.
I'm in this marriage. I can identify with some of the unhealthy. I was looking into borderline personality, and I don't display those behaviors in other relationships. I don't have a lot of experience in relationships, and I'm married to a wonderful man, but I see myself doing the manipulative cycle of being super vulnerable, getting him attached. and then I get scared or what, and I just don't want to cause any chaos. And I love him, and I feel like I'm making him work a little too hard.
You're testing him?
And so it hurts my heart. Yeah, do what?
You're testing him a lot?
I feel like so. And so but when I hear that term borderline, I look at that, it makes me, because to me, I look at that, that's a hopeless.
So, Catherine, you know, I think a better route for you to go instead of focusing on borderline, I think would be, if you haven't gotten it already, Mylan and Kay's book, How We Love, and for you to look at the vacillator, okay? Because instead of putting it into pathology, let's just look at characteristics that happen in your most intimate relationships.
Good,
right?
Because I feel abnormal if I have that label. And
yeah,
so
don't go there then.
Yeah, you don't want to label.
Because you're willing to look at your behavior, so we don't need to label it.
And if you were a true borderline personality disorder, you wouldn't be interested in looking at it.
Yeah,
and that's what I was worried, and that's why I thought, am I a narcissist? Am I selfish? And I thought, no, because I don't think I would be this way. But reading that, almost, it was to the T of that. But that's what my question you just answered is, could there be, is it not maybe as severe? Do I have to,
Think about this. We all have traits and features of different personality, you know,
and we all
disorders.
Have a little bit of narcissism,
yeah,
at least.
Because we need some healthy narcissism. To have zero isn't good either, right?
So
we all have features and traits. And in our most intimate relationships, we act the most primitive.
We do, and I'm glad that you called, and let me send you, she's got How We Love. What do you think would be another great insight book here for her that maybe she would see a different, how about we send her your book, Dave, on smart love,
to help her
with the connection in a healthy way, rather than just looking at
and
here's
there's
what's
activities
wrong.
That she and her husband can do together that strengthen their relationship.
Yeah. All right, we'll send that to you. I think that'll be a great balance to all of this. If you haven't heard, a month from now, actually it's May 18th and 19th, our Life Recovery Conference. Dave Stoop and I will be there. We'll be joined by Chris Williams, Chris Buckingham. It's Chris, Dave, and Steve, or Dave, Chris, and Steve.
And, or Chris, Dave, and Steve, and Chris.
Fairfax Community Church. On Friday night, we're going to do our 30th anniversary celebration. On Saturday from 9 on, we're going to do our Life Recovery Conference. I'd love for you to come and be part of that. I'd also love for you to help us. We need your support. We can't do this without you. If you do, I'll send you Dave's book, Understanding and Loving a Person with Alcohol or Drug Addiction, our way of saying thank you. Don't forget about Club New Life. It really is the club that sustains this ministry like nothing else. It's the foundation of everything that we do. It's $30 a month on our 30th anniversary. It was the same on our 28th anniversary. But anyway, it is nice that it's 30 on the 30th. Please be part of that if you possibly can. We'll say thanks by sending you 8 books out of the Arterburn Wellness Series, Understanding and Loving a Person with Attention Deficit Disorder, Sexual Addiction, Borderline Personality Disorder, all of it's a depression, Dave's book on addiction. 8 books dealing with the problems that we deal with or that other people are struggling with. And you get access to our video, over 100 videos in the video library. We're adding to them every week. One day we'll have 1,000. That'll be pretty special. All of that, our way of saying thanks for being part of Club New Life. Now, tomorrow is tax day, unlike what I said today. Pay those taxes. Get that refund. Help us if you can. The phone number is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. But we are here for you to call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to get the help that you need. Don't ever believe that it's hopeless. Don't ever believe that you're helpless. God really is a God of love, and He loves you. He created you fearfully and wonderfully right there in your mom's womb. And just like with Jeremiah, He knew you before you were ever even on the face of this earth. Well, that's pretty special. We hope that we can communicate some of that love. If you need us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.